And a very warm welcome also to the Women in the SEO Community Career Management Forum. Thank you for joining us in the midst of your busy day to spend probably the next 60 minutes on yourself and pause to think about your own career. So my name is Gwen Wilcox. I am the CEO of Armstrong Wolf. If you are new to Armstrong Wolf, we are a global CEO advisory firm. So what does this mean? We serve the CEO community with forums and content 100% targeted to support the CEO mandate. So part of our work, we promote the cause of diversity, of course, equity and inclusion, of course, also through the Women in the CEO Community Network. So you are part of that. We leverage the female executives and also underrepresented groups of the global CEO community. So this is our purpose. Our ambition is to professionalize the role of the COO and encourage all talent in financial services to consider the COO role as a career choice. So we do this through multiple forums and activities and provide you with career management series to support you on your journey. This is the second one of the series this year. There's one every quarter. So this community is all inclusive, irrelevant of gender or indeed seniority. So this particular forum is on guiding principles on how to manage and advance your COO career. And this is a fantastic opportunity to also hear from very special guests. And we have two people today who I can't wait to introduce you to. Before we do any of that, I just want to make sure that you put yourselves on mute if possible, but also that you use this platform. We are on Zoom, where you can see the chat facility. And if you have any questions, please do ask. We have a career coach on, and obviously it's now an opportunity for you to ask any questions you may have. So if you are able to ask questions, by all means, do so. So I think today's presentation you'll find is common sense, but whilst the biggest challenges we have seen is the widely different interpretations of what a COO function actually does or what it should now be accountable for, one aspect to note is that the evolutionary model of the COO office is evolving, and this is why now is a great opportunity to view the COO role as a career choice. We're giving you today an opportunity to hear from Kate, and Kate is our Head of Career Management Practice and a Career Coach. Hello, Kate.
Hi, hello there. Thank you, Gwen. So just to introduce myself for those of you that haven't come across me before, my name's Kate Hutchins, and I have a background in HR consultancy, both in finance and technology. I've been associated with Armstrong Wolf now since probably about 8 years. And in that time, we've established a very successful career management practice, which I think is quite unique because it's specifically focused on supporting those engaged in business management and COO roles. In that time, it's been fantastic to be involved with the women in the COO community and see that develop and be part of that journey. So as Gwen said, today's session is largely common sense, but I think, you know, sometimes we all value being reminded a little bit of the obvious. So hopefully you'll take something away from this that, you know, will help you in the future.
Indeed. Thank you, Kate. And I am also very honoured to welcome Satna Bhittani. Satna is a former CEO and MD at DWS Asset Management. And Gordon Grant, who is now Global Head of Futures, Clearing and FX Prime Brokerage Operations here at Citi, and also our own WUKIC Ambassador. If I can leave you both to give us an introduction of your career path to date, welcome to you both.
Shall I go first, Gordon?
Perfect.
Great. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining. So my name is Satna Dattani. I actually started as a strategy consultant at Oliver Wyman and consulted mainly to investment banks, retail banks and asset managers. And I moved to Deutsche Bank in 2007, just prior to the crisis. And I held a number of strategy and chief of staff roles, including working for the global CEO of the company for a number of years. I transitioned into the COO role about 7 or 8 years ago, originally working in our finance organization, and then most recently at DWS, which is the asset management arm of Deutsche, helping to run operations and technology.
Thank you, Setna. Gordon.
Yeah, thank you, and hey everybody, I'm Gordon Grant. I, as Gwen said, I'm currently at Citibank, where I do run futures, clearing operations, and FX prime brokerage. In the career that I've had at this point in time, and hopefully it goes on for many, many more years, but today I've had a wide range of roles front to back within operations and financial services generally, in covering institutional, wholesale, retail, front office, middle office, operations back office, everything from building out China Securities joint ventures to Asia security operations, running that, moving through to New York and looking at global electronic trading platforms. In 2020, last year, in fact, took a change in career trajectory, spent a fair amount of time actually working with Gwen and Kate and the Armstrong Wolf team. I was a management consultant, one of the founding partners, the Armstrong Wolf Management Consultancy arm, both with that business and then prior to and subsequent to that business. I've always been heavily engaged in talent development. Inclusion is really important to me, but making sure people have the right platforms to succeed have been cornerstones of what I've done globally since I began working. And that has included the build out of a 5,000 person career path model, which I guess I'm now replicating at Citi, which I've done elsewhere. But really honored to be here today. Looking forward to the conversation and any questions that come later.
Thanks, Gordon. Well, we'll start the presentation if that's okay, Kate. Let's go.
Absolutely. Okay, so today's session is really looking at self-awareness. We all of us want to feel that we have a meaningful career. So career is a big part of our life, and the relationship we have with our career can actually be quite complex and personal. In previous sessions, we explored this, focusing on individual strengths, skills, experience. And today we're looking at self-awareness through a slightly different lens and considering motivation and purpose. So essentially how your interests and values impact the path you take to build a career that's actually meaningful to you. We also look at how motivation and purpose can change over the course of career and through life stages. And I'm looking forward to the contributions our guests will make to help illustrate that. Okay, next slide, please. So, as I say, previously we understood, we looked at understanding strengths, experience, technical knowledge, and also how personal style and your characteristics can help define you and actually differentiate you as you progress through your career. This session, as I say, looks a bit more closely at the self, focusing on what you need and taking a more holistic view. So a good place to start with this is assessing who you are and where you want to go. So where you are today, what might be that next step in your career, but also so what you want from life. Building that sense of not just the skills and the achievements, but also what's crucially important is thinking about another key component, which I'd like to call purpose. Next slide, please. So what is purpose? What's your purpose? It's essentially a trickier question. It's what drives you. A good way of thinking about it is the element that must be present within your career for it to work for you. It varies from person to person. And it's important to be really honest with yourself about what it might be. It doesn't have to be necessarily aspirational or cause-based, but it's the thing that basically anchors you and keeps you on track. If you're struggling to identify what it might be, another way of doing this might be to think about what others say about you or what you might like your legacy to be. It's a strange thing. It's very different to having a plan. And I would also always caution against over-planning, because you can't chart a course for navigating a path that's unknown. And planning is great, and obviously it does have a role, but it's important to understand that planning can also limit how we judge a challenge, and it fails to account for what we don't know. So what we need instead is a flexible tool to help us navigate possibilities. And a good way of thinking about this is as a North Star, the thing that you can basically route yourself to and navigate by. So it's a discovery process to help us learn and adapt, and it brings light to a range of ideal career paths. It's pretty straightforward. It's essentially a general sense of direction. Your North Star is your sense of direction, and it's making sure that the steps forward that you take are in that right direction of your North Star. So in terms of thinking about purpose, it's a really good idea to be perfectly honest with yourself. And, you know, I've heard one key manager, one senior manager describe it as basically being the person who basically makes other people do things. You know, very honest, just very quite straightforward way of thinking about it. She's the one who makes sure that the stuff gets done, and she gets a great deal of satisfaction from that. So this is another way of looking at purpose. It's a Japanese idea. It's a concept called ikigai, which refers to having direction and purpose in life, providing a sense of fulfillment, and basically thinking about the actions that you can take that give you satisfaction and provide meaning. So essentially, iki, it means alive or life. And the gai element is benefit or worth. So when you combine these things together, essentially it's, you know, the meaning of your life. And it's very similar to the French term raison d'être, or reason of being. So what I really particularly like about this concept is it highlights the importance of things like, you know, passion and profession, what you're good at. But it also has a very pragmatic element to it as well. It also recognizes that these things have to intersect with the things that the world needs, what you can be paid for. And this, I think, is why it's a very useful model to keep in mind when making career-related decisions. So moving on. So every organization knows what they do. How they do it can sometimes be a differentiator. They might do things differently, although they're a similar organization. A writer called Sinek explains that actually the why is the most important message that an organization or an individual can communicate, as this is what inspires others to action. Start with why is how you explain your purpose and the reason you exist and behave as you do. Sinek's theory is that when your career aligns with your why and you successfully communicate the passion behind that why, you communicate more effectively as an individual with your listener's limbic brain. And this is the part of the brain that actually processes feelings such as trust and loyalty. So ultimately, if you're doing what's right for you, you're going to be more successful in what you do. As well as playing a really important part in decision making, successfully articulating your why is actually a very impactful way to communicate with other humans. So if you kind of fit this in to not just career, but other aspects of your life, it will help you define your value proposition and inspire others to act. So with this in mind, I'd like to ask our guest speakers, what do your colleagues value in you when you communicate with them? So I'm going to start with Gordon, if I may.
Pressure. So look, I think for me, what I hope people say is that I am a partner, that I add value, and that we together are aiming for something successful and better. That's what I hope they say, because they're also the things that really resonate with me, and they're why I get out of bed. I don't want to be static. I don't want to be doing something I've done previously. I don't want to be working for a team or a business that is going nowhere. So that's how I come to the office, always trying to move forward. And I therefore hope that that's a feedback that I would get from my peers and colleagues.
Thank you. Satna, would you like to add to that?
Sure. I guess I'd say first that in my introduction, I didn't mention that I did step back from my role just over a year ago. And so a lot of the things that you've been discussing today, Kate, very much resonate with me as I think through where do I want to take the next stage of my career. And I think there's that saying, I think Herminia came up with it, what got you here won't get you there. And it's very much about taking a step back and thinking through each of these questions and each of these motivations, not just in terms of a career perspective, but from a broader holistic life perspective, what do I really want to get out with from this? And as your sort of priorities in life change as well, it also shifts your definition of purpose and what you want. But in terms of what I'd hope my colleagues would say about me is that I operate very collaboratively. I'm hyper efficient. So I always got the feedback that we needed something from you and you got back to us really quickly, which allowed us to move on and get on with what we needed to do. That I'm very pragmatic, so I'm very solution oriented and thinking, how can we solve this without necessarily waiting for the perfect solution, but let's get on and do something. And that I'm also really fun to work with. So I think that's what I believe, that's some of the feedback that I feel myself I've had through, you know, formal feedback situations, as well as when I think forward, what are the elements that I want to make sure in the next role that I do as well.
Thank you. So these are some questions that I think are really, really helpful to actually ask yourself in terms of helping you think about where you are now and where you might like to be, and also how you've grown in your current role. So I'd like to ask our guests actually some of these questions. So if I start with you, Satna, based on what you just said, I think it'd be quite interesting. I'd like to know what's different about you now from when you were appointed to you were in your previous role, and what did you learn from that?
So I think that the last role that I did had much more of a technology orientation to it. And when I went into the role, it definitely ticked a lot of boxes in terms of there's a transformation angle, there's a change angle, there's the COO angle of working on, you know, running a business from a day-to-day basis, working on a strategy. So those were all things that I enjoyed doing, and I'd done in different parts of the organization with different sort of sets of content or problems. But what changed, I think, in that particular position, and I guess it goes more to what did I enjoy? I ended up spending a lot of time with our technology organization, not just the ones working on some of the legacy systems that we had, but also on a lot of the new technology. I was sitting with the UX designers, thinking about cloud strategy. And what that did for me actually was sort of reignited a passion that I've always had for technology since I was very young. I mean, I learned to code when I was 7 years old, and this was back in a time where it was sort of quite a strange thing to be able to do. And it definitely made me think, wow, technology and financial services has moved on so far from, I interned in an investment bank 20 years ago in the technology department, and you were absolutely seen as a second-class citizen. Whereas now you look at that, those are the roles that are really driving forward a lot of the technology firms trying to get into financial services. So I guess what changed for me was that, as I said, that reignition of that passion around a particular kind of type of content and way of working, that I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed it because I've been so busy working on financial services, problem solving. And it's definitely it definitely changed what I think about in terms of my purpose and what I would enjoy in future roles as well.
Thank you. That's great. Gordon, could I ask you what's different about you now from when you were appointed to your current position What you've learned and actually what you found difficult perhaps?
Yeah, look, great questions. And I think not dissimilar to Satna, for me moving into my new role, and in fact, the year prior to my new role, it was very much the state of flux for me. I'd gone through my career very clearly, you know, although Kate has just said don't plan too much, I'd definitely gone through my career knowing that I wanted to move to the next level, build something, do something. I was very geared towards action, very geared towards achieving something and getting it done. Came to a point in my career where I'd done a lot of the things that I wanted to do. And then looking at the next step for me, I almost felt a little bit lost. I needed to make some choices that were very important to me personally around family and what I wanted to get out of my life. I didn't want to be a parent that never got to see my children, for example, I wanted to be around. So being in a role where I would need to be permanently on the road, traveling, stuck in, you know, a building somewhere for hours on end, isn't something that I really wanted to do. And location-wise, I wanted to remain in the UK where I'm now based. So running through all of that in my mind, you know, I actually felt lost when I had to work out what was next for me. And given we've just come through COVID and many, many people have been, I guess, either as a result of COVID or through just general thinking, have had to come to the same, you know, challenging points in their road. You know, it's actually a real problem to try to work out what to do when you think that your path has come so far and it's now ended, or you don't know where to go next. So the last 18 months for me has been very much a case of thinking about what really matters to me, what I care about the most, and then working to find a role, find opportunities that allow me to excel in what I would like to do. And that also includes learning. Going back to my earlier comment, I love learning. I love innovating. I love being part of something that's going somewhere. So having opportunity to build, to grow, to learn individually and lead, still very much core considerations for me. But what has changed, what's really, really different for me, is that I, you know, to Kate's point, I am much more in tune with the fact that planning too much boxes me in, or boxes someone into a career or a path. Being flexible is important. And then almost approaching life and career as a, you know, in a design thinking model where you try something, it doesn't work, you tweak it, you tweak it, you tweak it. It's not a case of success or failure. It's a case of moving, learning, and evolving. And so for me, that's been the big change in the last 18 months, from being very set and clear in what I wanted to thinking, pausing, reflecting, trying out new things, trying, evolving further. And again, now I'm in very deliberately in a position where I'm able to lead one of the best banks on the street in the particular asset class I'm running, innovating, transforming. So all the things that work for me are all here. But that's why I'm there. It was a conscious decision to be there for that reason.
Thank you. So can I ask you, Gordon, building on that, what support you feel you need to move forward in your career?
I think to move forward in a career at any level, you need to make sure that you've got appropriate sponsorship. And that means different things at different levels. You also need a mentor or somebody, either officially a mentor or somebody that you can look to as a role model. So at every phase in my career, I've had people that perform those functions. So I'd still say right now, having a sponsor, knowing that I've got someone that has my back and my interests, and I very much have theirs as well. So knowing that I've got sponsorship, knowing that I've got common values with the people that I'm working with and a common vision, purpose, that for me is essential. I don't think people can succeed if they don't have the same mindset as the organizations they're working with or the people they're working with most closely. So yeah, for me, sponsorship, making sure that you've got a mentor or a role model that you can look to learn from, and then being open to change, being aware of who you are, but very much being open to change. Again, failing forward, so to speak.
Thank you. Satna, can I ask the same of you? What support do you feel you need to move forward in your career now?
So I think I look at it from four broad angles, and the first is absolutely aligned with what Gordon said. I think it's so important to have the right mentors and sponsors wherever you work. Those relationships, you know, sometimes they end up being somebody you've worked with, somebody you've worked adjacently to. There's always a lot of talk about sponsorship. I think the most important thing, that it has to be very authentic. I've seen situations where people have tried to be put together to become a sponsor and a, I don't know, sponsee, it hasn't evolved naturally and it hasn't made sense. So I think it's many people here will be probably working in quite large organizations. There's such a diversity of people around. Talk to people, network, understand who's around and see, and some of those relationships will develop very naturally. I think the second thing is making the most out of and being in the right organization. So It's being in an organization that supports talent growth, that supports development, that supports bringing together of networks and programs to further people's interests, that supports all that kind of self-learning. I think that's really, really important. There are some organizations that do that really well, and there are others that don't. And I think to the extent that people look around, a lot of organizations have that, but it's hidden away somewhere. And it's not always visible. And I think definitely seek out and learn to improve yourself and use what's in the organization. I think the third piece of support is really from a family perspective, and especially in the instance where you have a partner. And as you're thinking through your next role and your career, you can often find yourself at different stages from others in your family. And that can be anything from the sorts of roles you're doing, the demands that places on you, the location strategy as well that needs to be discussed. If one person's getting offered a role in a different continent, what does that mean and how does that affect you? So I think having that really open and honest conversation with your partner or with your family around what works and having the support from them, I think is really critical. And then I think the fourth thing, as you think about what really supports you through your career, as you know, many people on here will either have or will have in the future, it's around childcare and help. And I think, you know, making sure that you can try and find solutions that work for you, that allow you to do the best of both worlds, sort of be a parent and support your family and enjoy your time with them, as well as being really effective at work. And there's a lot of other stuff that happens in between that, you know, I think a lot of women are very focused on, I need to have everything organized and I need to be putting together the perfect menu for my kids to eat when I'm not there. A lot of that stuff, learn how to outsource. I know it's expensive. I think someone at McKinsey said, look at childcare and those things as an investment rather than a cost. It's an investment in yourself and what you can achieve. And I think kind of getting things set up that way from a broader perspective really, you know, helps people move forward as well.
Thank you. That's great. I covered a lot there. So can we have the next slide, please? Thank you. Okay, so this really indicates that the competences that are needed to be a successful CEO. It's by no means an exhaustive list, but any COO will definitely need to have strengths in these areas. And I think it's really useful to keep an inventory of your experience, maybe your experience to date so far. Also to think about the gaps that might be there that you might feel actually, you know, to move on, to get to where I want to be, I possibly need to expand in this area. And how you might bridge them. And, you know, we've just talked about sponsorship and the organisation and the support that they can provide. So think about the people that might be able to help you do that. And keep a log of your experiences. I know it sounds kind of a bit simplistic and we're all very time short and we all have great ideas and that we're going to do these things and never quite get round to them. But it's really, really helpful to get into the habit of, if you're logging your experiences and the examples that match to these competences and you're continually keeping an eye on it and you're checking in with yourself, it will just, you know, Gordon just talked about reflection, it is important. And, you know, not only will you build confidence and be more aware of your achievements and developments in your career, it will actually help you when you're talking to others and when you're building sort of mentoring relationships, sponsorship, etc. Could I ask Gordon Sapner if you have anything to comment, any comment to make on this? Is there any key competency that's listed that you see as particularly important, or do you have anything to add from your experience that might help
you? Yeah, I think everything you've got there is obviously essential. I think one that's really interesting, and I think reflecting on my career and reflecting on the COOs that I've worked with and that have helped me, etc., the one skill that has been really, really, really impactful for the most successful COOs is where they've been able to manage relationships and influence. But if I take it to you know, the next level as well. It's really understanding the network, who does what, how to get things done, how to influence and build support through many layers of an organization so that, you know, when the classic analogy of when a meeting happens, the decision's already made because you've done all that work pre the meeting to have something agreed. But the most valuable COOs that I've worked with have been able to help connect the dots so that everything just works seamlessly. And for that to happen, you know, everything on the slide is essential, but working through a network, bonding, engaging, managing relationships, but really, really managing them, very important.
Thank you. That kind of ties in with our earlier slide and thinking about the why and how understanding your why can help with influencing and building relationships. So thank you for that. Satna, would you like to add anything?
I would say that something to keep in mind, I was talking recently to a guy called Derek White, and he's the VP of Financial Services for Google. And he has this thing that every person has their own magic. And he sort of says to everybody, really think about what it is that you bring to a situation, to an organization, to a team, that's your magic and that makes you different from everybody else. And it may be some of the things that are listed on here. It made me, you know, maybe broader. And it's very simple. It can be a couple of words. And it, again, it links back to what you said earlier, Kate. And I think to really define that, and if you sort of think through, you know, the best projects that you've done and what really gave you a feeling of, oh, wow, this is what I brought to that. And I feel a sense of energy and accomplishment because I was the one who did X in that project. And that was the particular skill that I brought to the team. And to try and define your magic and have that in the back of the mind as you are logging these examples of your career, and you may end up seeing some, you know, some common themes across along the way.
I love that subject for another reason as well. You know, it may not just be me, maybe, you know, everyone may have this problem at some point, but I don't think careers always go in an upward trajectory. There's always, you know, at some point a bump or there's something that doesn't work out very well. I think having what you've just suggested, Satna, a firm grounding in that magic that you bring, the success that you have, and how you've delivered success for others as a COO is so important because that is what allows you to dream it up again every day and to come back in and to either go into battle or to manage the relationships all over again. But it's really important to remember successes and to not lose confidence if there is a glitch along the way.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for anyone who takes a little bit of time out for whatever reason it is, going back to, as you say, what is that magic and making sure you have that confidence in yourself. And it's a nice way of putting it because it is a very, it's a fun way of thinking about it. It's not asking, you know, state your strengths and weaknesses. It's really, it's a little bit more inspirational than that.
Thank you. You know, really, really quite inspiring. So I think, you know, it's also worthwhile thinking about that while you can have, you know, COOs performing very similar roles, they might well be motivated by very different criteria within those roles. So, you know, one COO might be drawn to the role because of the varied nature, you know, the breadth of the role. For another, it might be, you know, the closeness to the business and the relationships that they are building. So I think, you know, you can have two people doing a very similar position, working in a very similar position, but what motivates them might vary greatly. It's also important to bear in mind that this can change over time. Early on in our career, as we establish ourselves, you know, we might be primarily motivated by achievement, climbing the ladder, you know, status, and actually kind of building some income. And as time moves on, factors like work-life balance might figure more. You know, families might make greater demands upon us, autonomy might become more important. So Daniel Pink's done a lot of work in this area. He's written many, many books, but essentially it kind of boils down to people are looking for three key elements. So as we've said before, autonomy, the permission to make decisions and be responsible for the self. mastery for many people, you know, it's the satisfaction of just improving at what they do and becoming the master of their world. And actually, you know, coming back to the point we made earlier, purpose, yearning to do what we do in the service of something larger than ourselves. So something that fits in with, you know, sort of the values that we have and contributing to the world, going back to the ikigai idea, you know, something that the world needs. So these are all things that we can kind of think about when we're thinking about what might our purpose be and what motivates us, what works for us. And you know, I love that quote from Derek White, that every person has their own magic. This is essentially it. It's what kind of combination of these factors is it that gets you out of bed in the morning to do what you do? Okay, so one of the other things that you might want to think about is something called purpose to impact. So think about not just your purpose, but what is actually the impact that you want to make. And some people kind of find it really quite difficult to identify their purpose. It can take quite a long time. And as you say, you know, you're very busy in the early stages of your career as you're establishing yourself. So you sort of found what you want to do. You found your direction of travel, but you're not really thinking about how you're doing it or why you're doing it to any great extent, because you're just so busy. But then as you move on and your career grows, it's really important to think about what is at the core of you and what are your strengths, and tying in with that, what are your values? So if you're struggling with this, just some tips here. Take a step back, just go back in time and think about what you enjoyed as a child. And as that can really provide some clues. So, you know, some kids, they just want to be out there. They want to be active. They want to be running around on a sports field. Other children, you know, they want to perform and act or draw. And, you know, so think back to your childhood and think about a moment in time that felt good for you. And that kind of will start to help you draw upon the things that might identify what is at your core. Another way of doing it is to identify two really challenging experiences, and that could be from any part of your life or any stage of your life. But actually think about things that have shaped you, experiences that have shaped you. What did you learn? What did you draw upon? Why do you think that they shaped you? And also think about, quite simply, what you enjoy doing now. What is it that means that you live a happy life? So sort of pondering these questions will really help you find whatever it is that's your thread. And once you've found that thread, you can make sure that it's you follow that thread, and it will help you move forward in a way that actually links with your purpose to make that impact. So can we have the next slide, please? Thank you. This is quite an interesting career model, the kaleidoscope model. It acknowledges authenticity, balance, and change, the need for all three. And we're all familiar with the kaleidoscope, you know, that thing that you turn. And I used to love them as a child. You've got the changing patterns and the glass chips move around and the pattern changes, and it can become quite hypnotic. And it's acknowledged that actually the pattern of career changes, and you know, the movement is far more rapid for women in their lives, as they have different priorities at different times, and the need to rearrange roles and their relationships within their career in different, quite creative ways sometimes. So this career model of the kaleidoscope is quite relevant to women. And Sapna talked about, you know, the idea, you know, the issues with maybe childcare and domestic issues as well. So it's quite useful in this respect. So Edgar Schein has also talked about career anchors. And these are things that also might help you when you're thinking about your career. So his career anchors that he lists are as follows. So you've got general managerial competence, autonomy and independence, security and stability, an entrepreneurial element, a sense of service, challenge, or quite simply just doing a job that means that you can maintain your lifestyle. It's worth sort of actually thinking about, and you can find Edgar Schein's work quite easily by just Googling it, and thinking about, you know, of those career anchors, what's the thing that's important to you that has to be there for your thread? Okay, moving on. So in terms of articulating your brand, this is a really good way to help kind of draw all this together and think about some of the things that we've touched upon today. Think about your brand. It's basically, you've heard of the 60-second elevator pitch. It communicates your how, your why, and your what. Going back to what we sort of said earlier, the Simon Sinek, starting with the why. And it links to your purpose. It also represents what you value most and what makes you unique. It's what people are going to say about you when you leave the room. So all these elements together will help you articulate your brand. And what I'd like you to do is, after today's session, to think about what it is that represents you and who you are. And also remember that, you know, it doesn't have to be anything worthy. It doesn't have to be anything grand. It just has to be something that is actually authentic and true to you. And it's not just a statement. You have to live it. So one of the people I'd like to finish with is a quote from Jane Fraser, the CEO of Citi. And I think she sort of sums all this up quite nicely, and a lot of the things that we've touched upon today. So Jane Fraser has been quoted to say, "You can't have it all at the same time, but you can have it all spread over decades." And I think that's really, really helpful to remember. So finally, I'd just like to finish by asking our guests how they articulate their brand and what they would like to add. So Gordon, can I start with you?
The 60-second version of my life. Sorry, that would be, I transform front-to-back client experience, optimize revenue, deliver step change success to client experience, talent, and business goals. Is that 60 seconds? That's close.
So Satna, how would you articulate your brand?
Well, I have to say, this was quite a challenge that you posed, Kate. And I feel like, having done my CV and my LinkedIn and, you know, constantly doing interviews, I thought, this is going to be easy to do. But actually, when you go back to thinking about some of these purpose pieces, you think, oh, gosh, actually, how do I really put it across in a really in a good way? So I'm going to have a go. I don't know if it ends up being too corporate, but let's see. I'm a senior leader with 20 years of experience in financial services across both banking and asset management, with a background in strategy consulting. I've worked as the right-hand person to the CEO, the CFO, and the COO of two major listed financial institutions. And from my experience working at the very top of an organization and turning vision into transformation programs, I'm skilled at knowing how to drive change and what can the organization tolerate where choices have to be made. I've personally run organizations of up to 6,000 people with $1 billion of budget. And I'm really proud of having built high performance teams. I love leading people and mentoring them as well. What makes me unique? I think it's my ability to synthesize complex issues, understand how to connect an organization or teams together to solve the problem at hand in a collaborative and effective manner. I've delivered 50 million of cost reduction in 6 months as an asset manager. I crafted a new balance sheet strategy for an investment bank. I helped to recalibrate an entire technology division. I also learned to code when I was 7, and I love technology. I'm really passionate about how to use it to transform financial services, both in terms of how customers interact with products, as well as how organizations can be better in themselves. And my colleagues would say I'm collaborative, hyper-efficient, pragmatic, and fun to work with.
Fabulous. Gosh, you've got a lot in there.
I think, Gordon, you've got to work on your pitch. Gordon, work on your pitch.
Doing it after this call.
Did you find it, you said it was kind of quite an exercise. Did you find it helpful?
I did, because when I originally wrote it and then I spoke it out, and it was quite long. And then I think it's really interesting to have a time to it and to say it out loud. Because I think you spend a lot of time when you're writing you say, logs of experience or putting together CVs, a lot of it's very, you know, it's in your heads or it's on pieces of paper. When you're actually talking and thinking about what would I say to people in person, I think, and having a time limit put on it and thinking, what are the bits that I want to bring out? Which are the bits that are irrelevant? There's a lot of choice. There's a lot of choice.
Yeah. I think it can be, as I say, and that's why I would really ask everyone who's present today to go away and just, you know, play with this and have a bit of fun with it. But you will get something from it. Thank you. So I'd like to finish off today by just sort of saying, I think, you know, we've covered a lot of ground, and I think, you know, it's fairly complex stuff when you're thinking about motivation and purpose, because it is different for everyone and we're all individuals. And when we're starting to think about things like this, it can sometimes get a little bit messy. But what I would like you to go away and think about is recognizing the need to plan, but also remembering that North Star and thinking about, you know, not career in isolation to other areas of your life, but recognizing that it's all holistic, it's all interconnected, and that will, you know, become even more complex as you progress through your career. So finally, I think if you keep this in mind, it will really help you to plan and remain flexible to opportunities that arise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, thank Sapna, amazing branding. And I just think I'm just very much hoping that someone will be snapping you up very quickly, because clearly you are very articulate and an amazing lady to listen to. Gordon, obviously, amazing man to work with, and also I think very inspiring. So I just wanted to let you know that these slides are going to be shared after this forum. I'm also going to send you a survey that we've just completed over the past couple of days. That is a summary of, it's basically a survey of over 50 global CEOs and their paths to date. So how long it took for them to become a global CEO, and various graphs around gender equity, how long it takes for women to become a CEO, et cetera, and people of color, et cetera, et cetera. And I just think it would be very, very interesting for you to put everything into context. So I'm going to be sending that to you this afternoon. I just really also would like everyone to think about their legacy, really, what they want in terms of their strategy. What do they want how do they want to be remembered when they are building their career? That's also quite important. I mean, I think for me also a few more tips and advice, I guess. But what I hear from all the community is that ultimately you become successful when you're brave, when you're bold, when you are also very true to yourself. I think referring back to what you said, Kate, around developing your why is really very important. I guess also it's also quite important to know what drives you, especially when it comes to building your brand. How and telling your story is a really big part on developing a career management process, and developing relationships also is very, very important. And how do you do that? How do you actually manage your network and keep it alive? And I think ultimately it's about remaining authentic to yourself, authentic to what you were thinking of being or doing when you were a child. So referring back to what you said, I think to conclude, finding your mentors is really good. I'd love to know a bit more about what organizations are doing about mentorship also. So if someone wants to come forward and talk to me about this, that'd be great. Keep being visible. Leverage your external and internal alumni. That could be a really good opportunity for you to leverage your career. And also review your careers portals. You don't know what's around the corner. Take the opportunity. I hope this was helpful, insightful. We'll just wanted to let you know we'll have the next series in Q3 and Q4, and they'll be talking about managing your mental health and stress as we're going to go back into we'll go into a hybrid model of work. And then we'll talk about the management of relationships. I think it's going to be quite a big one in Q4. So this concludes our forum. Thank you. Thank you, Kate. Thank you very much, Sapna, and obviously Gordon. It's been a pleasure to have you. Thanks for your candor and for your time today. And thank you everyone on the call. Have a very good weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.